The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Well, hi, this is Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured from no fault of their own, please contact Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Whether auto or work-related, slip and fall, trip and fall, construction accidents, dog bite, medical malpractice, or nursing home neglect, or various other types of negligence, please contact me at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg by visiting me at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. I will represent you with integrity and passion. Living in pain from no fault of your own can be emotionally and physically detrimental and affect all aspects of your life. Please contact me, Ken Auerbach, at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for an immediate and free consultation and the support and representation you deserve. Hi, everyone. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach in Steinberg. Welcome back to our program from No Fault Your Own. I'm here with my great trusty associate and also my co-host, Amanda Spinner. Welcome back, Amanda.
Thanks.
We missed you last week.
Yes, I was on vacation.
The show was not nearly as good as it would have been had you been here, I'll tell you.
The people missed me.
The people missed you. The people are out there. In fact, I was afraid they were going to start marching on the studio here.
They might riot.
I think so. So, folks, as you know, it's our goal to give you an insider's view of bringing and proceeding with various types of personal injury actions caused by the negligence of some other party. And among these areas we have explored and we are going to continue to explore car accidents, trip and slip and falls, construction accidents, medical malpractice, dog bites, nursing home neglect, products liability, and really many, many other circumstances of negligence and the serious injuries that often occur. Through our journey together, hopefully we have removed some of the mystery and uncertainty and we'll continue to do so and really help you feel empowered, knowledgeable, and confident in the process. We are live today, so if you do have a question, you can call the studio at 631-451-1039. That's 631-451-1039. It would be our privilege to answer any question you may have on personal injury. No questions too silly. A lot of times after the show, we get these calls, and it turns out it's a really good question and oftentimes a very, very viable case. So please do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. As you know, you can contact us all the time at 631-654-4900 or get us at myinjuryli.com, and you can contact us, and we'll be glad to answer your questions and take the time to try to help you. Well, today we're going to go back to a subject that's really, really important in the area of personal injury. And we're fortunate to have on the show again, he was with us a couple of weeks ago and he was kind enough to come back, attorney Bill Turley. And Bill Turley is a workers' compensation, Social Security disability, and also I think retirement, New York State retirement.
We do some of that too.
Some of
that. We do veterans benefits as well.
Veterans benefits, right. And Bill is here to help us out. Bill, what firm are you with again?
Turley, Redmond, and Rosasco.
Okay.
Thanks for inviting me back.
Well, we love to have you here. And Bill and I have known each other for a lot of years, and it's really been a great relationship because workers' comp and third party and disability and those other areas, they cross over each other. And a good personal injury attorney always has to have a partner, pretty much, who is a workers' comp attorney, Social Security disability attorney, and an attorney who is able to help us manage our way through the third-party case, at the same time help you through those other aspects of the case. And so what we want to do today is we're going to just quickly summarize, Bill, when we had you on the show last time. We talked about the distinguishing factors between a workers' comp case and a third party. Why don't you just give our listeners another summarization of that?
Well, under the workers' compensation system, it is a no-fault system where you don't have to prove fault of your own. You just need to show that you were injured in the course of your employment. And the benefits are lost wages, medical care for that particular injury, and you can get reimbursed for your travel expenses between your home and the doctor's office. And if there's any kind of permanent disability stemming from the injury, you might be entitled to an additional award over and above what you've been paid by the insurance company during your absence from work. Also, if you, you know, if you're never able to go back to work, there are also benefits that, that kick in.
So, Amanda, let's just talk about how really these cases get presented to us.
Right.
All right. And for our listeners, and how we get involved in a situation where there may be a third-party case and a workers' compensation case, or potentially evolving into a Social Security disability case. How does that occur in our office, Amanda?
So we either get a call directly asking us about a workers' comp situation, which then we try to see if there's a third-party action in it, but we would refer that out to Bill's office. Or Bill might also get a call and realize, oh, there's a potential for a third-party action, and he will refer that case to us. So typically that's how it happens.
So what will happen is during those conversations, we have to vet it basically. And we have to now make an assessment when the client calls as to whether it's just workers' comp. In other words, if it's solely the employer that would have responsibility, where you can't sue your employer in New York State, right, Bill?
That's correct.
And in fact, that system, Bill, evolved many, many years ago, right? And there was a thought process that that system would be fairer, possibly, and help workers, right?
That's correct.
And the prior system before the workers' comp, where you'd make a workers' comp claim and go in front of a workers' comp board, what did that involve, Bill?
Well, you would have to sue your employer directly if you got injured on the job. And not only that, you'd have to prove that the employer was negligent and was somehow responsible for your injury. And there were many, many attempts over decades to try to institute a workers' compensation system throughout the country, actually. And it wasn't until 1915 that we enacted a workers' compensation law. And that was all put into motion by a very famous event in New York City called the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire.
Really? What happened with that?
Well, it was in a factory that made like women's blouses. They call it shirtwaist, but it's they're blouses. And the building was it was called the Ash Building, and it was right on the campus of NYU, where NYU is now. And what happened is it was staffed mostly by women, young women, immigrant laborers from Italy and Eastern Europe, and they were working on a Saturday. A fire broke out in the factory, and what happened was, in order to prevent theft, the employers had locked a lot of the doors that would lead to the fire escapes, and the elevators weren't functioning properly. So many, you know, egregious fire violations were going on there, so that when the fire trucks finally got there, most of these people had either burned to death or they jumped out of the building to their deaths.
Gosh.
And it was really like the 9/11 of its day. Oh. And that was motivated a lot of the social reformers to enact a workers' compensation law. And by the way, there were no workers' comp benefits for these people, no benefits for the families, nothing. It was tragic. And
so that sort of got the system, or got people looking at it and saying, well, this shouldn't happen. If somebody's at work and now they're injured or terribly, they go to their death, there should be benefits that flow from, obviously, that loss, whether it's injuries or their death. And before that situation, no such thing existed in New York.
That's correct.
So that's, you know, it's really something, Amanda. I didn't realize that workers' comp is only since 1915.
I didn't realize that either. I did know about that fire. I think we learned about that in school.
Oh, yeah.
It triggered me. But I did not know that was the precipitating event to kind of getting workers' comp. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think there was some legislation that had passed, and in, for workers' comp, and it was struck down as unconstitutional. I think the day before the fire occurred.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's just this strange alignment of events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's the part, Bill, that we tell our clients when they give us a call, and I'm listening to the rendition in terms of what occurred. I try to tell them that I need to hear the whole thing. I need to hear the whole story, because there may be benefits that you may not even be thinking you're eligible for. As an example, Bill, there have been times when I picked up the phone and I called you, and I did not necessarily know whether or not there was workers' compensation benefits. Somebody may be working on a job and they just started and the employer didn't put them on the books. And they've now suffered a serious injury. And there are times, Bill, where you've said to me, well, listen, the fact that the employer really violated the law and didn't put them on the books does not mean that that person's not entitled to benefit.
You're absolutely correct.
And there have been many times, Bill, and other situations where similar things have occurred where it didn't cross my mind that, hey, that's comp related. And someone leaving work, someone coming in and out of work, someone literally turning into work into the parking lot, that person can have workers' comp benefits they're entitled to. And so, well, we're going to get back on the other side and we're going to continue on this journey, folks. Really so glad to have you here on this rainy day. We did have a beautiful weekend, so I guess we have to accept it. I'll always accept rain on work days and sun on days off.
Yes.
So we will see you on the other side. Well, welcome back to our program. If you're just joining us, this is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. I'm with my great co-host and associate Amanda Spinner, and you're on our program from No Fault of Your Own. We are live, and we're exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents. And if you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone else's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. We are live today, so if you do call in, you have any question on personal injury, we'd love to answer it. And you can give us a call at 631-451-1039. That's live in the studio, 631-451-1039. And if you do call in, you'll have a special gift. Man, do you want to tell listeners what that might be?
You will get a From No Fault of Your Own t-shirt.
Yeah, and those really, they're all over the place now.
Yeah.
I love it when we walk around and we see one. And, you know, my nephew said one day, I forget what it was. It was our mask, you know, the COVID mask,
yeah,
which we all could do without. But it was like in the middle of his complex. And it was just like, I was like wondering, like, well, how did it actually arrive there? You know, I like to track it. I'll put a, right, Bill, if I can do that, right? It's a great marketing tool, right?
Absolutely.
You put like a low jack on it, Bill, see how it got there. But again, folks, if you need to contact us during the week or at any other time, please, myinjuryli.com. Or call 631-654-4900. It would be our privilege to fight to get you justice. And all of our consultations on personal injury cases are always free. If you do retain us on a personal injury case, we don't get paid unless we make a recovery. You don't pay us anything. We'll lay out all the expenses also, and you will not have to pay us back the expenses either unless we are successful. You can listen to our program also every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we explore these issues. We will make ourselves available for those consultations. We'll come to you. You could come to our offices, Nassau, Suffolk County, in the five boroughs. We'll go to a medical facility if you need us there. We'll go after hours. We really want to be there for you to try to make it as easy as possible. So we are back now with our great guest, Bill Turley. He's a workers' comp attorney, Social Security disability attorney. He does veterans benefits.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Correct.
Some New York State retirement stuff. And we're talking about where workers' comp and third party sort of meets and the importance of knowing that, the importance of having an attorney, I think, that's able to assess that. Because what happens is sometimes I'll get a client, they'll come to me. And now on day one, they come to me and they think they probably have a viable third-party case, but there's a problem sometimes with third-party. If a person is injured someplace and they're unable to make a claim for interim benefits, essentially, to get benefits for your lost wages or your medical expenses, you're sort of stuck out there. Okay, now how are you going to survive in the interim? And so when I hear a client comes to me, and Amanda and I will get a client that'll come to us, and they'll say, well, I was on a job. Okay, right away my ears go up. You're on a job. What type of job was it? Where was it? How did it occur? Even if you're in a car accident while you're working, although New York covers you, no-fault benefits cover you if you're in a car. If you're not working, the benefits actually that will kick in if you're working and you're in a car accident are workers' comp benefits. And that's why immediately we'll call up Bill and say, Bill, we have this person. We need you to help them out. And we need you to step in here, Bill, and tell them what rights and what can they get and where and what do they do. So tell us, Bill, in a scenario like that, okay? We call you up and we say, this person was on a work site. And later on, we're going to talk about some different types of work sites, some construction accidents, because it brings up different issues. Let's just start out with a simple one, Bill. Person is involved. They're driving an Uber. They're driving for a bus company. They're in a car accident. They're seriously hurt. We send the case over to you. Tell us what happens. How does that start? And then let's talk about how these systems merge and what they do differently.
Okay. First of all, they should seek medical treatment right away. Okay. Notify the employer within 30 days of the accident. And what we suggest is that everyone file something called a C3 form, which is the standard form. It's called the employee's claim for injury. And that can be either done on paper, it can be done online, you can email it to the compensation board, fax it. But let me just talk about what benefits will kick in once the person has filed the claim and it's found to be legitimate and the insurance company agrees to pay. They'll be entitled to 2/3 of their average weekly wage, okay? And, you know, generally speaking, if you have someone who's worked at this employer for an entire year, they'll look at their average over the past year for 1 year prior to the injury or the onset of the disability. And the maximum that they will be entitled to is $1,063.05. Now, on Friday, July 1st, that's going to go up to $1,125.46.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, that's actually better, Bill, than the typical basic no fault, because no fault only pays $2,000 a month or 80% of your salary, whichever is less. So a person who is earning, you know, $50,000 a year is not going to get nearly in the no-fault system what they otherwise can get in the workers' comp system.
That's correct. And I just wanted to point something out to you. The reason that it's an odd figure is because it's based on the statewide average weekly wage. It's indexed. So it's from Montauk to Buffalo what the average weekly wage is throughout the state, and that's how they come up with that odd figure.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
That's and is that changed every so often? How does
every
that work?
Every year. Every July 1st, it gets adjusted. And that's been since, I really have to go back here, since 2010. Prior to that, they were even numbers.
Now, one of the things about that, Bill, that I think is really important for our listeners to know is that with the workers' comp system, okay, so now I send the case over to you, a person has been injured in their employment. It's different than some of the other systems because workers' comp, again, is not assessing whether or not that person was at fault or not to get that benefit.
That's correct.
Right? Yeah. So irrespective of whether the third-party case, whether this person who was in, let's say, this car accident, whether they're at fault or not, whether they have any contribution to it or comparative negligence, whether they're 50% responsible and the defendant in the car accident case is 50%, the person under workers' comp is entitled to get 100% of the benefit, not a reduced amount, correct?
That's correct. As long as you can demonstrate total disability, you'll get that full rate.
Right. I mean, the long and the short of it is if they're out of work and they're unable to work fully at that point, even temporarily.
Yes.
Okay, no one's going to look at it and say, well, wait a second here. We think you caused the accident or 50% you caused the accident. And now the benefit of being totally out of work, you're only going to get half of it or you're not going to get any of it.
Yeah, the fault is irrelevant. I mean, we come across people all the time who are the cause of the accident, a cause of a motor vehicle accident, for example. They still get the full benefit. That really doesn't come into play, liability.
So, folks, I think that's important, right, Amanda, that people understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like no fault being in a car accident. I mean, obviously, this is a car accident situation, but it's irrespective of whether you've contributed at all, anything, you're still entitled to get the workers' compensation benefit. So that, I think that's really important.
I think that is because a lot of times people will call and they're not sure. They're not sure exactly what happened in an accident. They're not sure because maybe they lost consciousness. Mm-hmm. They didn't get the police report yet. There's various factors. And they're used to this idea that I can't make a recovery unless I can show someone else is at fault. Workers' comp says something very different.
Of course. I mean, you know, taking it out of the motor vehicle accident realm there. Let's say I lifted a box the wrong way, or I should have had two people or three people lifting this and I tried to do it myself, or I forgot to flip the switch, or I forgot to do it. Doesn't matter. As long, all you have to show is that the accident arose out of and in the course of employment. Those are the magic words. Of course, that's subject to great interpretation.
Out of and in the course of employment.
Yes.
When we come back later, maybe you can give us some examples.
Okay.
Of where it does trigger and where it doesn't trigger. And mm-hmm. I want to talk to you about the area of construction accidents, because those are very interesting cases, oftentimes catastrophic injuries and or sometimes deaths. So we will see you on the other side. You're on our program From No Fault of Your Own. Just so glad to have you here. And we'll continue on our journey together as we hope to give you knowledge, empower you. And we'll see you on the other side. Well, hi, this is Ken Auerbach from Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg. If you or someone you care for has been injured from no fault of their own, please contact Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Whether auto or work-related, slip and fall, trip and fall, construction accidents, dog bite, medical malpractice, or nursing home neglect, or various other types of negligence, please contact me at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg by visiting me at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. I will represent you with integrity and passion. Living in pain from no fault of your own can be emotionally and physically detrimental and affect all aspects of your life. Please contact me, Ken Auerbach, at Cartier Bernstein Auerbach and Steinberg by visiting myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for an immediate and free consultation and the support and representation you deserve. Well, hi, welcome back to our program. If you're just joining us, this is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach, and I'm here with my great associate and also my co-host, Amanda Spinner, on our program From No Fault of Your Own. And we are live. We're exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents. If you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. Now, if you'd like to call us in the studio, we are here live. You can call us at 631-451-1039, and Amanda, they'll get what?
You will get a From No Fault of Your Own t-shirt.
We'd love to give that to you folks and love to answer your question, try to help you out.
Yes.
So again, you could contact us at any time with regard to what you believe may be someone else's negligence that caused you or someone you care about or love injury. And you call us at 631-654-4900 or get us at myinjuryli.com. We would be privileged to fight to get you justice. All of our consultations on personal injury cases are always free. And if we do take the case, you don't pay us a fee. It's all on a contingency unless we make a recovery. And you can listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we do explore these issues. So we are live and we're back. I do want to give a shout out to two people, actually, today. I want to shout out to one of our listeners, Vinny. He's in Oak Beach. Vinny, I hope with the rain here, the water's not getting too high. But I think you'll be good, hopefully, and really appreciate you listening to our show, Vinny. And just continue to do so, Vinny. And again, if you hear of someone that's been involved in an injury, please send them our way. Vinny is actually, in the past, he's one of our listeners, has sent me and forwarded me some people who were seriously hurt, and I've been able to help him. And in addition, we want to thank Behind the Glass today. This can't happen. This program can't happen without Anthony Barone. Anthony is amazing behind the glass. He tells us when to get on, when to go off. Anthony is really the greatest. We really appreciate him doing the show and helping things really flow smoothly. Right, Amanda?
He really keeps us in line.
He does. And Anthony Barone, and I asked him, I was wondering if Anthony Barone is related to the Barones of Everybody Loves Raymond, who I'm actually friends with. I'm good friends with Rich Romano, actually.
Yes.
And Rich is actually a very, very good friend of mine, a great, great person. He was actually a sergeant in the New York City Police Department and very decorated. And he was actually on a bunch of the shows on Everybody Loves Raymond.
Love it.
And I know a bunch of the stories. A bunch of the stories actually were things that happened to Rich.
That's what I thought, based on his real life.
Yeah, it really happens to him. So my friend Rich is just, you're just a sitcom, Rich, if you're listening out.
Shout out to Rich.
Shout out to you, Rich Romano, too. We love you, buddy. So let's get back to our program here that we're talking about workers' comp and how it crosses over with third party. We have the great attorney, Bill Turley, very, very great attorney, but an honorable man, person you can trust, and we've had a long relationship with, and he's helped many, many of my clients out really get through the process of workers' comp, and now they're in an injury, they have an injury, and now they don't know what to do. And so let's kind of talk about, Bill, some of the scenarios. There's other scenarios that happen. Let's talk about a construction site accident.
Okay.
And that's something where we've handled many of those, Bill, and you've done a great job where I've sent you people, and you've actually sent me people who had a workers' comp situation to handle that third-party case. So, folks, you're at a work site, and let's say you're working in one of the trades. You can be working as a subcontractor. You could be working doing various different kinds of things. You can be a laborer. You can be a person who's a carpenter. You can be a person who is a steel erector. You know, all different things, right, Bill?
That's right.
And so let's talk about that scenario. I'm going to give you one of the scenarios, Bill, that actually is real, one of my real cases. Had someone I was representing. They were on a construction site. Actually, it was a deconstruction site. And they were going to build a large dormitory, actually. It's going to be many, 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 many floors. And they're deconstructing another building. And as they're deconstructing the building, my client is a laborer. He's actually in the basement of the building. And while he's in the basement, there's a vertical piece of steel that they're trying to knock down. Not my client, but other people on the job, the laborers. They don't attach a line to it. They don't do anything with this other than just start whacking it, thinking that it'll go down and it'll fall in the right direction. But lo and behold, Bill, as we've seen many times, things that you think will happen or might happen, they don't go that way, right, Bill?
That's right.
And so in this case, the piece of steel, instead of going one way, it actually goes all the way up and around, three floors up, falls into the basement, misses this other gentleman who gets underneath a cement staircase. He doesn't get a hit. My client tries to escape. He actually gets crushed. His foot gets crushed with this piece of steel, crushes his one foot, and also hits the calf of his leg. He wound up losing a large chunk of the calf of his leg. And as the steel crushed the foot, oftentimes what will happen is the foot will get necrotic. In other words, once it gets crushed like that, it will lose its blood flow through the capillaries. And unfortunately for him, they kept on having to take pieces of his foot away until he wound up having about 3/5 of his foot on the front left. And it was terrible. It was devastating. So in that case, Bill, when we do get that case, and when we actually got that case, that's a case where, again, we refer to a workers' comp attorney, because that's a person that, in this case, was not going to be able to work again, was never going to be able to do that job again. So I get a case like that, right? Catastrophic. It's a height-related case. From your end of it, Bill, from the workers' comp, when I send that case to you, what happens?
Well, the first thing, of course, we're going to file the claim for him through workers' comp, make sure we have the right insurance company and the claim number, and we're going to make sure that he is getting the proper medical care. And not only that, but that the doctors are properly filing reports so that he will get his the benefits that he's entitled to. You know, you may have the greatest doctor in the world, but if he's not filing your paperwork properly, you're not going to get paid, you know.
Got it.
Most doctors who do accept workers' compensation understand the system and they know how things have to be filed. So, you know, it usually takes about 4 weeks or so for things to get properly in motion, where the client is on a regular pay schedule and they're getting their benefits on a regular basis.
So that person there who was injured at work, let's just say that on a construction site, typically that person would not then put their medical through their own private medical insurance. Am I correct?
That's correct. They should not do that.
All right. And it will go through the workers' comp. Are there any advantages of it going through the workers' comp versus obviously mistakenly putting it through your private medical insurance?
Oh, absolutely, because workers' comp in the medical system, there are no co-payments and no deductibles. You are 100% covered.
That's, you know, that's a really very interesting point, very important.
The only thing is that it is a managed care system, and the treatment is subject to the MTGs or the medical treatment guidelines. So there are many, many things that modalities of treatment that the doctor can use without getting prior authorization. But very often, if you want to go above and beyond what the medical treatment guidelines allow, you have to ask for special permission. But with an injury like the one you're describing, they're not going to have a tremendous amount of difficulty getting those things authorized in the early stages.
So, Bill, for someone to treat under workers' comp, do they have to get authority, in other words, authorization, to go to a particular doctor? How does that work?
No, all you need to do is go to a doctor who accepts workers' comp. Now, many don't now. They don't like to be bothered with the system and following the guidelines and getting all these necessary approvals. But there are many, many doctors out here on Long Island, especially, that accept workers' comp.
Now, I do know sometimes with particular doctors that do take workers' comp that they have to put in for authorizations for certain types of testing. Does that occur?
That's correct. But again, under the medical treatment guidelines, if you're exhibiting certain symptoms and there's a certain type of trauma that is present, then you don't have to have prior authorization.
Oh, that's really good. That's good to know. Yeah. And, you know, a person, like I just told you, that, you know, they're devastated. You know, their whole life is upside down at that point, Bill.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm representing them. They can't work. And I obviously want to make a claim, and I want to see if I can make a claim for third party for their pain, which you can under workers' comp. But at the same time, that I need something, or they need something, to help them get along, help them really get to the place where maybe years from now, then it depends what it is, we can make a recovery. So listen, you're on our program from no fault of your own. We'll see you on the other side. Well, welcome back to our program. This is personal injury attorney Ken Auerbach. I'm here with my great associate and co-host Amanda Spinner. We do have Bill Turley on the show today, and we're talking about workers' compensation, what you could do to get compensated if you are injured on the job. We are exploring the most important issues in personal injuries caused by accidents, and if you or someone you care about has been injured as a direct result of someone's negligence, please contact us at myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900. It would be our privilege to fight to get you justice. That's myinjuryli.com or call 631-654-4900 for a free consultation. All of our personal injury cases come with a free consultation. If we are retained and you retain us, you don't pay us a dime unless we make a recovery. It's all on a contingency, and we will lay out expenses also that you're not going to be responsible for if we don't make a recovery. And listen to our program every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. as we do explore these issues. So we're back with Bill Turley, and Bill, we were talking about the importance of making sure that you do have a good workers' comp attorney. If you're eligible, of course, to file for workers' comp in the third-party scenario that we were talking about, and you made it clear to our listeners, and I think that's important, that they really need to and should file under workers' comp because they're not subject to co-payments and deductibles. And they can go to a doctor who does take workers' compensation. And there are many good ones that do take it. I know they're out there.
Yes, they are.
And so in the scenario that I gave you, Bill, what happened in that case was when we explored it and looked at it, my client was working for a subcontractor. And working for a subcontractor, he was injured at a building, at a construction site under New York labor law, 240 of the labor law. If there's a height-related accident, in other words, something happens, came from a height, or you fall from a height, you can bring a claim. And there's various scenarios within that that we have to look at in detail sometimes. I've had cases where people have come to me, and they may have been with another attorney, and they didn't see it as a 240 case, which is important because under the labor law, if you can show that you've been on a construction site, and it could be also a renovation, it doesn't have to be new construction, and you suffered an injury from a height or something from a height hit you, you may be able to bring a claim, and you can bring a claim, against the owner and general contractor of that site. There are some exceptions, but in general, that's what it is. And by doing that, you'll be able to make a recovery. You will not even have to prove technically negligence against the owner or general contractor. It is what they call strict liability, which means essentially that it's assumed that there is liability. You don't have to prove fault. You just have to prove that, in fact, it did occur. There are some other sections of the labor law that reference what we call the industrial code, which require us to show some violations of that. But for the purpose of our conversation today, when you have a height-related accident, you're on a site. I've had them where people are on ladders. I've had them where people are, I just gave you that example, a gentleman's in a basement and this piece of steel falls from a height. I've had them of really, really many, many different things where something from a height falls, a hammer falls, you know, various different things that you probably wouldn't even think about, folks. You really need to pick up the phone, call an attorney, call someone that does this. We do this. We analyze it. And if you do have a right under Section 240 or one of the other sections or a negligence case, we want to evaluate it. If you're hurt on the site, we want to go ahead and make sure we get you over to Bill and let Bill handle it and make sure that he can get you paid through the benefits of workers' compensation. So, Bill, talk to us about some of maybe some pitfalls, some problems that you've seen where maybe something wasn't done right at the beginning, and let's try to protect our listeners from getting into the same kind of problem.
Well, I think the most important thing is to, when you're making your claim, when you're filling out your C3, make sure that you are very specific about the injuries that you sustained.
Now, you the know, C3, is that something your office helps the client fill
absolutely,
out?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. Yes, we would prefer to help them fill it out. But many times people have filled out the C3 before they come
coming
to us.
Before coming to you, okay.
And that's fine. But, you know, very often people will leave things out on the C3, you know?
Right.
So typically they'll say, okay, I hurt my back. Because they'll ask you, what parts of the body did you injure? I hurt my back, I hurt my neck, I hurt my shoulder. My knee was kind of bothering me, but it's all right. I'm not going to put it down. And then, lo and behold, weeks later, months later, the knee starts to bother them, and they're like, well, wait a minute. This happened back on the job, but you didn't say anything about it. You
so
didn't
then
mention
it. Would the knee not be covered in that
it
circumstance?
It could still be covered. You okay. know, as long as you make your claim within 2 years of the accident date.
Okay.
Yeah. And you got documented. You got to talk to your doctor about it. Or we have to check the hospital record and make sure that it was mentioned.
Right.
But there's another interesting thing, too, though. You can claim consequential injuries as well.
Okay.
So let's say that you hurt your right knee, and as a result of favoring the other side, your left knee starts to bother you, and you start to have physical problems there, and you need either therapy or possibly surgery. You have 2 years from the date that starts to become a problem for you to make that claim. So
that's a good amount of leeway.
Yeah. In short, you have 2 years to make your claim to file your C3.
Right.
But if a consequential injury develops, you have 2 years from the date the consequential injury develops to make that part of the claim.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, you know, in the cases that I've talked about and some of the cases we were talking about, sometimes the injuries are catastrophic. Like I gave you that one example, and I have many, many cases where you have work sites where people just get hurt really badly, because if you're working from a height or you're in a place where something can hit you from a height or you can be injured as a result of some big piece of equipment, the injuries tend to get larger and worse. And what I can tell you is that what's important for the clients to come to me is that we can investigate it. We can investigate it early. And from my standpoint, which is different than workers' comp, is I have to prove sometimes negligence, or I have to prove something was just not done properly at times. And so you really need to get to a personal injury attorney that does this sooner than later. You know, people's memories tend to lapse, right, Amanda?
Yes, memories fade, and unless you have real documentation of that, whether it be a video or pictures, you know, that kind of fades away.
Yeah, and I've had it where there's somebody working, Bill, on a work site, and it may just be a temporary person, person who happened to have witnessed it. And, you know, maybe now they're going to be there for a couple of months, and now they leave. And you think it would be easy to find people. Sometimes it's not, folks. Sometimes, you know, it could be someone literally that maybe is working off the books for another contractor or working off the books maybe for the employer you're with, and now they leave the country. And now we have no way of getting hold of them. We lose that information. And our job on the third party, Bill, different from your job, is I need to be able to have facts. I have to prove facts. You only have to prove that it arose out of, right?
And, out of and in the course of employment,
in the course
yes.
of, out of and yeah. in the course of yeah. employment. I have other things to prove. And
that's right.
So you really need to come to us, folks. And in the third-party case, this is the difference. We can recover for pain and suffering. You cannot recover in workers' comp for pain and suffering. Now, that doesn't mean you don't make a workers' comp claim. You still need to make the workers' comp claim, and ultimately from your recovery on your third-party case, there will be a lien that has to get paid back to the workers' comp.
That's right. There's not only a lien, but there's also a credit against your net recovery in the lawsuit. Well, and that's a tough thing to explain to people.
Yeah, it's, you know,
it really is.
It's a tough thing, but you need to know what it is, right?
Yeah.
So depending on how much coverage there is, a good attorney is looking at all of this because they want to know is – how much is going to have to get paid back? So if there's essentially a really large insurance policy, you want to make sure that you take that into account when trying to settle the third party and get the lien paid off. Listen, we're going to have you back again.
Love to come back.
We have to have you back again because I got to tell you, Bill, when we go through this, it really flies through and just, a lot of what we're doing through every area of personal injury law.
Just getting the tip of the iceberg here.
Right? Yeah. So you're coming back, Bill. I really love to have you back. And I know Manda and I really enjoy having you on, and I know our listeners are really fortunate. If our listeners need to get a hold of you, make sure, folks, you call my office, Ken Auerbach, okay? At 631-654-4900 or myinjuryli.com. I will get you in touch with Bill. You still might have a third-party case, and we will help you fight to get justice. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.